ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this Friday Eve special of the Sideline Junkies podcast. And you know, this Friday Eve is the day that everybody says Thursday night throwdown. Yeah.
Oh my God. You wait all week for that. Just that right there. Thursday night throwdown, baby. What a way to bring it in. Yes, it is Friday Eve. I'm the big guy, KG. That's the Midnight Rider over there to my...
whatever.
That would be my left. Yeah. I don't know. We got mirrors, so as you can see on the screen, big guy, KG, Midnight Rider, we in here. First and foremost, before we get into anything, how you feeling tonight?
Feeling good, man. I had a very good day. I listened to some talk from the Redskins or the Commanders coaching staff. Made me feel all warm and tingly inside. Made me feel good about what's going to happen here for hopefully the foreseeable future. Or you can see a bunch of guys that try to do it right and got it wrong. We don't know how it plays out, but that's the beauty of it all. And we'll get back to that later on.
Yes, sir.
But other than that, man, it's just great day. We're going to have a great night. We got some stuff coming up tonight on the show that we're going to talk to you about. And then there's the big thing hanging over us today. I thought it was early, but maybe it's happening at 9 o'clock. So we'll see. And we'll talk about that as well.
Okay. Don't mind me. I kind of look over my shoulder, my shoulder every once in a while. I'm actually sitting here watching Fast and the Furious. So don't mind me. I love you. But before we jump into this was scrolling down the bottom for those that are watching on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, wherever you happen to be partaking us tonight, buyfortmose.com. That's BUYFORTMOSE.com. Use our discount code, which is /discount/maniacs. Get $10 off your purchase. And if you buy over $130, you get free shipping. So check them out for your sippers, your drinkers. If you're smoking, you like to put a nice whiskey with your stick, real good place to go. So that's buyfortmose.com/discount/maniacs. Now, you know, one thing we do here. Oh, the big man's here. What's going on, Hill? Good to see you. Good to see
you. Big dog.
Now, one thing we always do.
No. You know what? I gave him a shout out the other night, but we gotta give him a special shout out because they did a show live from the Super Bowl, and that just talks about the opportunities that we have. Now that we've teamed up with Clear Productions to do some shows on the road, so good job, guys, on the show you did. I know you guys had a great time because I saw all the pictures from Lee Ice. I'm glad you guys had fun. Go ahead, KG.
Hey, man. Out in Vegas, can you do anything but have a good time? I don't think I've ever heard anybody not have a good time in Vegas.
Right, exactly.
Now, granted, this weekend was a special weekend because it was Super Bowl weekend, but any other weekend that's not Super Bowl or All-Star weekend, they say you can go out there with no money and still find stuff to get into and have fun. Haven't experienced it yet, but I'm going to soon.
That's what's up, man.
You know, I have to do this way and start off the show on a sour note because I like to end on a high note. We had a tragedy in Kansas City. The Chiefs had their championship parade, rightfully so. I noticed the parades come earlier and earlier after a championship. Sometimes they like within a day or two. I'm like, damn.
It's essentially Super Bowl parades on Tuesday because most of the time they're trying to get those guys out of town by Wednesday or Thursday so they can catch their flights wherever they're going. Because, you know, everybody, once the season's over, you pack that bag. If you don't live in that city, you going home. You might be going to Cancun. You know, that might have been why the last play in the huddle, 1, 2, 3, Cancun. You know, so here we go.
This was tragedy. 23 people were shot at the parade. I don't know. They don't know what it was. The suspects are in custody. Some people were false reporting who the suspects were. and trying to make a political statement, if you get what I mean, to say that, you know, these people, you people, if you understand what I'm saying, getting out of hand. And somebody lost their life. A DJ for a local radio station, Lisa Lopez Galvez, 44 years old. She lost her life at a championship parade. They described her as a Kansas City Chiefs super fan. And she lost her life at a parade. You can talk about politics. You can talk about video games. It's the guns. And I mean, granted, I could take a gun right now and put it on the balcony. It's not going to shoot nobody. It's the people behind the guns. But it's the thing that you got people with high power rifles and military grade rifles that live in a home. What do you need that for? You got people pulling AR-15s out and shooting people. Like, it's not necessary. Okay? Somebody lost their life at something that was supposed to be a celebration of your favorite team.
So, I've tried to catch up as much on the reporting as possible, but it's kind of been stagnant. I guess they're still trying to figure some pieces out in terms of people and the incident. But from what I saw, it started from a small dispute amongst a group of people. And then I guess it escalated, or it definitely escalated, because you had someone that lost their life. They did show the police capturing one of the guys, and then the second guy got tackled by somebody on the parade route, and then the second dude came in and cleared him out, cleaned him up, and they laid on him and held him down until the police actually showed up to put him in handcuffs. So to those gentlemen, we thank you for your chivalry and your guts to step in and help in the situation. But yeah, it was tragic. It's sad to hear that she passed away. I heard some of the victims are kids. They said the age range was from 8 to 47. And again, all we're trying to do is celebrate a championship. And it's just sad that you can have those things. And on the political side, I know there was the guy's name is Alan Lepore from, he used to work at 106.7, or for Odyssey, I should say, as a salesperson. But I saw him post on Twitter or X, whatever we're calling it. He posted that, like, the Republicans had passed a law that allowed minors to carry weapons in Kansas City, which is crazy to me. But, I mean, it's only so much you can do.
Yeah. And the reports that I'm reading are two of the three gentlemen were juveniles. I understand we're in a different time and a different era. I've never heard of anybody getting into a fight or a scuffle celebrating a team's victory. I've been one of the greatest things I've ever seen is being at a game, a big game. It's a big Redskins game. I can't even remember what game it was, but they won. And the players were leaving the field. And as they were leaving the field, everybody sung Hail to the Redskins. Black, white, Hispanic, Asian, young, old, middle-aged, didn't matter. Everybody was there just singing. High fives were going around. It didn't matter what you did for a living. It didn't matter what you did outside that stadium. And we were family.
That's it.
In that moment, that walk from FedEx to the metro station, we were family. May never see each other again, but we were family.
I tell you the story all the time that, like, everybody said you had two families. You had your family at home, and then you had your RFK family. And our RFK family was probably 18 people deep. It was the two rows that we had seats in. And then we had my aunt and them on the other side. I think they were like 322. They were right by the goalpost. And that family that you built there, you know, you come back every year and somebody is growing a couple more inches, you know, they're in school, they're graduating, you know, they're going to college. All that stuff happens, man. That's the beauty of the sports. That's the beauty of football.
Yeah. So not going to spend too much time on it. Condolences to her family, friends, loved ones, co-workers, everybody, man. It's just all those that were injured, man. Just I hope nobody else has to perish from this, you know. So a couple comments real quick before we get into this, before we change the direction, get a little bit more happier. Hill said, Philadelphia, April. Pre-show WrestleMania, Philadelphia. I mean, I like the sound of that. You know, I ain't gonna lie. I like the sound of that because it's things to do around WrestleMania. You never know who you're gonna run into. So I like that.
If they still got it, he's gonna have to take you to the $5 fresh burger guys. That's okay. A place that we visited like 2 or 3 years ago when we first started going places. So here we go. Press conference. Let's go.
Yes, yes, yes. Midnight Rider tried to tuck this one away and not let me get a hold of this. But, dude, I already seen it. I wish you could see my ankles right now. My ankles already taped. I got my pads on from the waist down.
I got you.
You know, I pulled the helmet out. Look, I done already started getting fitted for everything, man. I need some new shoulder pads. Need another helmet. I said, yeah, my helmet's out of code. So, you know, my helmet's a good 20 years old, so. I need another one. So I'm going to pick that up tomorrow. Got a lady to tape my hands and everything. We good. So Joe Witt, I'm there, man. I'm there. Give me a couple of bullet points with this conference, with this press conference, man. Talk to me. Tell me what you loved about this, because I loved a few things.
Go ahead. What's the few things you want me to go first?
No, I wanted you to go first. I'm throwing it to you.
Give me a second. Because I'm trying to see if my tweet is still up.
It should be.
You might have to pull it because it's not showing on my for some reason on my timeline.
On Twitter?
Yeah.
All right, I got you. Cause if I'm not mistaken, I think you tagged me in that.
No, I think I may have tagged you in the one for Pete. No, I didn't. Yeah. No, I tagged the Sideline Junkies in that. I don't think I tagged you in the other one. But he talked about, first and foremost, he talked about we're not going to be 3-4. We're not going to be 4-3. We're going to be multiple. But most importantly, we're not going to do stuff we did in Atlanta. Not do stuff from Dallas. What we're going to do or what we're going to build is the Commanders defense. That statement right there alone, even though it came later, like that just was one of those statements that blew me out of the water. He talked about, let me see. He said the standard is the standard. I remember that. He said something about, do you have it?
Yeah, I got it.
All right, go ahead. Because I know I have four of them.
Yeah, it was five.
All right.
A running hit defense.
Yep.
Basically, see ball, get ball. Charles Davis voice. See ball, get ball. The way we live ain't for everybody. I love it. I love it. Arriving violently.
Mm-hmm.
Ball is life.
Mm-hmm.
And then take away the grace so we can play fast.
That's the one. When I heard that, I was in my chair. I almost gave out a Ric Flair, woo! But I'm at work. You know what I'm saying? They already think I'm kind of crazy because every time somebody says something that I don't like, I start talking to the radio out loud. And they looking like, who are you talking to? I'm like, I'm sorry, radio. I'm listening to the radio. So, but yeah, those were the things that stuck out to me in that statement. And the other thing, reason it stuck out is because if you pay attention, the theme is staying the same. You know, I've always cried about us never having an identity. And when Dan Quinn spoke, he said some of the similar things to Joe Witt. They may have said it in different words, But the overall theme is the same. And that is the key for me. That's why I'm enjoying this. I don't care that we missed out on Ben Johnson, Brian Johnson, Mike McDonald, Yama be there. I don't care about any of that. I really just, I'm telling you, I want an identity. It's the one thing. I might even get a t-shirt. Right to go along with my content t-shirt. I want an identity. That's exactly what I want. And if this team starts putting together and laying out a formula of what they're going to be, and this is how we live, this is the ABCs of our life, this is the cross we're going to go die on, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. There's only one way to do things, and that's the right way. I got these for days, KG. I used to coach. I got them.
Let me say this. You know, when he said arriving violently, you know, basically that C ball, hit ball, get ball. When he said that, the first thing I thought of was something that Ronnie Lott said. He said having George Seifert as your DC, and then you got Ray Rhodes as your defensive backs coach. He said that's street, and that's Cornell. Because the stuff that Ray Rhodes is talking, you wasn't talking at Cornell. He said, you got to get a woo lick. Well, what's a woo lick? Everybody stand up when they see woo. That's what I heard. We're going to see a lot of woo licks. And everybody going to stand up when they see woo. For those that don't know, that's when you see somebody get tattooed and everybody go, woo! And you stand up. That's what you're going to see a lot of. We finally going to get back to playing smash mouth defensive football. Thank you, Lord.
And then when he said number five, we're going to take away the gray. You know what I talk about. I say it on the show all the time. Sometimes you got players that are thinkers. Sometimes you got players that are they dogs. They just sickers. You got to sick them. And if you put this defense with this speed and this talent, because some of these guys were underused, as Doc Walker would say, some of this talent was held hostage. And I think a kid like Jamin Davis, if you make a clear picture for him, you make a clear picture for a Quan Martin, you make a clear picture for a Forbes, I think you can get some growth and potential out of those guys as long as they do the things they're supposed to do during the week and fall in line.
Now, let's talk about the coaching staff as a whole before we go on. It's starting to really fill out with some talented dudes.
Oh, it's very talented. Go ahead. I know you want to run the list off.
Now, here's the thing. Everybody has a pass game coordinator now. Like, that's another coordinator.
But it's a reason why you're doing it this way. So go ahead and read the list. Because okay. I got to, because you just going to dovetail right into my comment. Read the defense first, then go to the offense.
All right, defense. I'm going to tell you what I like about this defense. Joe Witt Jr. is your defensive coordinator. So he's head man on the defense. Defensive pass game coordinator is Jason Simmons. Defensive line coach, welcome back, Daryl Tapp. Assistant defensive line coach is Sharif Floyd. Linebackers coach, huh?
You said Florida.
Linebackers coach. Now, this right here made me say woo. The champ's son, Ken Norton Jr. Already, our linebacker coach has got better. I mean, once we get rid of Cody Barton and David Mayo, our linebacker coaches got better. But Ryan Kerrigan, assistant linebackers, pass rush specialist. Defensive backs is Tom Donatell. Assistant defensive backs is William Gay, I'm sorry. Senior defensive assistant, Joe Pagano.
All right, stop right there.
Okay.
Because that's the last defensive coach, right?
No.
Oh, go ahead. Get the last one.
Defensive quality control is George Banco.
All right. So there's two things that stand out on this staff on this side. A, it's layered. B, these guys, you talk about having multiples. You have guys that have experience in the different multiple facets of defenses that people play. Like, there's not all 4-3 guys on this coaching staff. These guys do a little bit of everything. So now what you're doing is you're tapping into your resources and you're actually making your – see, this is what happens when you have good coaching staffs. There's people on the staff that even if somebody gets plucked, you've got somebody lying and waiting to come over and take over. And Joe Witt says something like, if a guy doesn't know it's my fault, I can't resist coaching. And when he said it, I heard Mike Tomlin on the Pivot podcast, because Mike Tomlin said, when a guy tells you that a player can't learn, he's running away from coaching. I run to coaching. So like, you're hearing themes that are similar themes across the board. Now go to the offense.
Okay, before we do that, we had special teams. Huh?
Special teams?
Oh, wait, hold on. History has been made. Iowa's Caitlin Clark sets the Division I scoring record with 3,528 points passing Kelsey Plum.
Dun-dun. Breaking news. Where was the – what is ESPN doing?
It just came across. It just came across a minute ago. 1 minute.
I would have expected them to just jump in with the play. Like, her at 6 points. But I guess you can't just do that. Maybe it's contractually obligated because of the Big Ten Network. Maybe that's why they can't do it. Sorry, I had to remote my hand because you know I'm trying to find it.
All right. Special teams coordinator, Larry Izzo, three-time Super Bowl champion with the Patriots. Larry Izzo is your special team coordinator.
Larry to the Izzo.
Your head trainer is Al Bellamy. Head strength and conditioner is Chad Englehart. Looking at the offense, assistant head coach, offensive pass game coordinator, Brian Johnson. I didn't know the boss, BJ, had another job. He doesn't even tell us this stuff. First, the dude's a kicker. Now he's a coach. Okay.
Well, you know, I mean, he probably wanted to get in the coaching after he saw me last year coaching with the Indianapolis coach, me and Jeff Saturday, taking on the world.
That is true. That is true.
It took you.
Yeah, because I had to. I forgot that. We still got your play call sheet. It's up. We got a copy of it. The original's in Canton. Offensive coaches. Your offensive coordinator is Cliff Kingsbury. Somebody said something on Twitter today that I think is really, really true. No disrespect to anything that happened in Arizona, but Cliff Kingsbury didn't have enough talent around him 100% to be successful in Arizona. He didn't have enough older knowledge for him to succeed. And now he has that knowledge with him, so he's going to be successful in his role. He's set up to win. If he fails, which I hope he doesn't, and I don't think he will, if he fails, it'll be more him than what's around him. But I think he'll be good. Run game coordinator and running backs coach, my guy, Anthony Lynn. My guy, how long have I been talking about Anthony Lynn getting the short end of the stick? The Chargers are still spinning tires, and now Anthony Lynn's here in D.C. Good, he's here in D.C. I can show him appreciation, dude. Anthony Lynn ever sees this. Einstein bagels. Everything bagel and a cup of orange juice on me, brother. You looking like...
No. I know you so well that when I heard the name, I was like, I can't wait to get on the show. Because KG's going to actually have, like, it's going to be like a blushing moment. It's going to be like a full-fledged love affair the second this came through. So I knew this moment was going to happen.
I like Anthony Lynn, man.
Like, I almost put this, like, I almost did a bingo card for this show of, like, what we do. You know, throw in content, you throw, what are we doing here in the circle, throw some other things, and just plays like a bingo. But, yeah, I knew you was going to gush over this dude. Go ahead.
You have Tavita Pritchard as your quarterback's coach. Assistant quarterbacks coach is surprising because David Blau is your. I'm surprised because I'm like, hey, ain't he an active player?
Not anymore.
No, he's the assistant quarterbacks coach. And little history. He was the starting quarterback for the Lions when Dwayne Haskins got his first win in DC. So yeah, welcome.
Why was he coach? The game he couldn't finish because he was overtaking a selfie?
He finished the game. He was celebrating with the fans behind the bench like you're supposed to.
But there was a play and the backup quarterback had to go in and take a knee because he was celebrating with the fans.
But before that, before the backup quarterback had to go in and take the knee, we were on defense. We wound up picking it off and sliding down, so everybody was celebrating. Please don't put that on him.
Okay, sure.
I was at that game. I was there.
Do your job. All right, let's go. Come on. We're getting in the weeds.
Wide receiver coach Bobby Engram, tight ends coach David Rye,
something like that, yeah.
Assistant offensive line coach Darnell Stapleton, mm-hmm. Offensive line coach Bobby Johnson, mm-hmm. assistant offensive line coach Darnell Stapleton, mm-hmm. offensive assistant Andre Coleman, offensive mm-hmm. quality control Shane Taub. That's your offense. Now,
you gotta look up Taub.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to find something on him. Here's the thing with the offensive line. I'm not looking at the right play. Offensive line, Bobby Johnson. I was looking at who Bobby Johnson coached offensive line wise, right? He coached the Bills offensive line from 19 to 21, 22 to 23. He was in New York and he's here with us now. I don't know exactly where New York ranked the last two seasons with offensive line play.
Last year they were down. The year before they were like middle of the road.
And they had plug and play players. But I know the Buffalo Bills in 19, 20, and 21 were one of the top offensive lines. And they had injuries, but they were pretty damn decent. Our biggest Achilles heel on this team, and this is where everything has to go through, it's the offensive line. Everything has to go through the offensive line. If the offensive line is successful, the offense is going to be successful. If they're healthy, everything's going to go fine. But we have to have, number one, we got to have players. And if these coaches can take these ragamuffins, these ragtags, coach up Sam Cosmi, Nick Gates, Leno. I think Leno's going to wind up getting cut before free agency.
I don't think Gates is going to be here.
Really?
No, I don't think so at all.
We may have to do that. Who gets cut before free agency? We may have to do that like on Sunday or something.
We got time. I said we got time.
Okay. But, you know, different guys. I just want to see these guys on the offense come up. But I'm really excited about the defense. Like, my excitement is always defense, especially secondary play.
I got to give you the Kobe. Like, hold on. There's a reason you should be excited about this offensive coaching staff. There's two. So reason number one, for everybody that says you don't go get a defensive-minded coach because your offensive coordinator will get hired to be a head coach, where they've got this thing layered so much with good coaching talent that say somebody comes along and takes Brian Johnson, where you still got – you still got Cliff Kingsbury. You still have Anthony Lynn. And no offense, but I don't think Lynn's going to get us. He may not get a second chance. So in the worst case scenario, you have Lynn for the entirety of this 5 year, 6 year, whatever this run is. But it gets even better. Your QB coach is a kid named Tavita Pritchard. And you talked about something about smarts and being smart. Well, you can't be dumb going to Stanford. And he's in his 30s. So if one of those guys goes, he has the book of knowledge. And you've layered your staff like the Shanahans do, where once a guy leaves to go somewhere else, he either takes the QB coach with him and that guy becomes the OC somewhere, or that guy gets elevated on the staff. And the guy that gave me that I enjoy being on the staff the most is David Blau. Kid from Purdue. They ain't got a lot of dummies in Purdue. And one thing they do like to do is throw the ball at Purdue. So I think he's another one of these guys. He's just finished playing. So he's another young up-and-coming coach. And I think in 3 to 4 cycles, depending on what his job is here, he may have to go somewhere to be an OC, but I can see him in 5 to 6 years being a head coach. Him or Pritchard. So what you've done is you've laid your staff out so well that it becomes a learning tree. And as these guys learn and matriculate on, you have people to replace them. So this is built in. So anybody that cried about hiring, the bad thing about defensive coaches, you lose your offensive coaches. The staff is layered so well that you have made it so that you are, I'm not going to say free from the effects of losing somebody, but it makes it less of an impact. I've been dying to say that all day. I was going to tweet to Pete, but I didn't want Pete to think. I was like, nah, I'm going to hold on to this.
let me say this, and then I got a question. We'll get to the defense. After we get to the defense, I got a question for you. Looking at this offense, you have, of course, you know, Dan Quinn's your head coach now. Dan Quinn had previous head coach experience. Cliff Kingsbury, previous head coach experience. Anthony Lynn, previous head coach experience. So these three men already know how to lead men. And then I look at the wide receivers coach. May not stand out to everybody, but it stands out to me. And that's Bobby Engram. And Bobby Engram has been here. He was here last year. He was the Ravens receivers coach in 2014 to 2018. He coached Pittsburgh, not the Steelers. I think that's Pittsburgh University. Yep, that's University of Pittsburgh. He coached the 49ers as an offensive assistant in 2011. So he has been around. But one thing you got to remember, Bobby Engram wasn't a bad receiver. And one thing he can give you is that knowledge. So
there's a good mix of guys that played the game and a good mix of young guys and a good mix of old guys. So you put that all together and you just shake it up. And as long as they can see eye to eye, which I don't think is going to be a problem, I think you're going to build something special, or you at least have the opportunity to build something special. So let's go ahead and hit the defense.
You already know. On the defense, I'm glad to have Darryl Tapp back. You know, I love when former players kind of circle back around the coaching staff. Of course, you know, I'm happy to have the showstopper back. You know, that's my man. I think I'm cute. I know I'm sexy, you know.
Right.
You know, all that. But anyway.
Sexy boy.
I will say this until I'm blue in the face. I thought it was a joke when they said Ken Norton was coming over to coach the linebackers. I said, if this is real, this is done. This is over. I said, Jamin Davis, his whole entire career is about to change. One thing about Ken Norton, he knows how to win, and he's coached some of the best linebackers the NFL and college football has seen. He was the linebackers coach with the Legion of Boom. And you know how them dudes, that whole defense was just nasty. You love to hate them, but they were nasty. He coached USC's linebackers. I think he was at UCLA last season. Was it UCLA he was at? Because he was supposed to get a head coaching job soon, too.
Say that one more time.
Huh?
Say that one more time.
He was supposed to get a head coaching job?
Who, Ken Norton?
Yeah. Oh, that's not what you're saying.
Nah. I don't think so. No, my thing with Ken, I think you just hit the nail on the head. A guy like Jamin, a guy like the John Harris, some of these younger guys, Khalik Hudson. And again, all of those names I say, I go back to the premise that Joe Witt dropped in his thing. I'm going to take away the gray. Now, I was looking because I couldn't remember the guy's name. But I wouldn't be surprised if you see a Bobby Engram get picked up in free agency. And brought here. What's the middle linebacker's name? Bobby. His name just popped out my head. Number 55 from the Seahawks. Bobby Wagner.
Yeah, Bobby Wagner. Yeah. But see, now, hold on. It's funny you say that, because when I said that last year during the free agency cycle, we sat here in this very ring, and I was vetoed down about bringing Bobby Wagner in.
There's a difference.
There's a gleam, man.
I knew only you would catch that. But no, the difference is, who else can... This situation is better because now he's teaching or helping install the system. And a lot of coaches, when you think about it, and I know you've said this before, but this, when it's new coaches, I'm always concerned about like how the language gets translated to players. And sometimes you got to have a translator in the room to help them understand the new language they're learning. You know what I'm saying?
The way you had Colt McCoy here for so many years, and everybody wondered why he was on the team, but he was great at translating the offense.
Right, exactly. And I'm surprised that Colt hasn't – I mean, he's probably still trying to play. But the second he stops, you can't tell me that Colt's not coaching somewhere. Quality control, I can see him – well, unfortunately, Gruden's not in the league, but I can see him with Shanahan.
Yeah, because he was a Shanahan disciple. And he wanted – one thing about Colt – and I'll say this. He won a lot of – well, I ain't going to say a lot. He won quite a few big games here in D.C. So I wouldn't be surprised to not see him come back as a quarterback's coach, offensive assistant or something, once his playing time is up.
And then the other person – and I tweeted this a while ago, but it's the linebacker from the Tennessee Titans that's a free agent, Azeez Al-Shahar. Shahir, S-H-A-A-I-R. He was a third linebacker on the 49ers from 2019 to 2022. He signed a one-year deal for $5 million with the Titans last season. So I'm guessing he has limitations in coverage, but if somebody needs an early down thumper, that's your man. Early down thumper? I don't know. We ain't had an early down thumper.
In quite some time.
So Wagner and him are just two names that jumped out to me because of their ties, because of who they know, who they with. So we shall see. I say right. Who they with. And then
I like that. Hey, you know what? Let's do this right now. Before training camp, before OTAs, when that defense get going and they make big plays, as a tribute to this defense and Joe Witt, who you with? Straight yep. Bernie Mac, who you with? So you heard that here. You hear anybody else do that, they got it from us. So Joe Witt, who you with? That's all you're going to hear when that defense show up, because we know it's going to show up. So I'm with that. My question to you, sticking with the Commanders, but going upstairs, the layout of this front office.
Go ahead. See, just this right here. Go ahead. Just say it.
Okay. Hold on.
Go ahead.
You got two of the young guns that have had some of the best drafts the last couple of years, Adam Peters and Lance Newmark, as your general manager and assistant general manager. Martin Mayhew, senior personnel executive. Rob Rogers, Senior Vice President of Football Administration. Ed Shin, Senior Vice President of Football Strategy. Eric Stokes, Director of Player Personnel. Chris Polian, Bill Polian's son, Director of Pro Personnel. College Personnel Director is Tim Gribble. Marty Herney has been moved to an advisor role. Does that mean he's getting let go?
No. Because I think with Marty was able to do was help a guy that has just owned the team got thrust in the training camp. You know what I'm saying? Like the first day of training camp was like a day or two after he bought the team. You know, he didn't have a chance to find out where the good bathrooms were before they had to make actions on this team and start talking about what's going on. You know, they did some things in the short term, like putting stands out there, having some cool intents. They did some really good things for them to just have the team for like 2 or 3 weeks before training camp. So I would love to see what that experience looks like this year. You know, maybe depending on the status of Clear Productions and the Sideline Junkies, maybe we can get a press pass.
I've been working on that for a couple of years now, and I always get told to call back at a certain time, and that time always comes and goes for training camp because it's always we don't have anybody to go.
All I'm saying is we might have to, I mean, even if we go like on different days and we share the pass amongst each other, but I want to be, look, my goal is to be at a press conference, raising my hand, saying, Ben Conti from the Sideline Junkies, Coach, what was your thoughts on this play? That's all I want. I get that. Oh, my God. You're not gonna be able to take me off the ceiling if I do that. I'm going to be like Turbo.
I no problem with that. No problem with that. But now, my question about the front office was, do you think that the front office is going to stay the way it is, or will there be some more shuffling, additions, and or subtractions? Thanks for taking the call. I'll hang up and listen.
No, you know what? Was it KG and Suitland? So I think that's a great question. And I think if you pay attention to the cycles, the hiring cycles for front offices, normally the draft happens. And then if there's going to be any movement in the front office, it happens right after the draft, because these guys have worked diligently on creating draft boards and creating folders and mock-ups for these players that are coming out in this draft. So it doesn't make sense. And this is why I didn't understand what fans were yelling about. You got to let these guys go. No, you got to have these guys around so you can translate the notes and understand what they're looking at. And then what you're going to find out is some of these guys are really good. And again, we were holding talent hostage. No, that Southern scout that had the Georgia area, he might be better than we think. So he might hit things, you know, he might look for things that you look for in a player. So why would you come in and just fire him without even getting to know him or getting to understand him? It's like right now, they're doing player evals right now. So they're also doing scouting evaluations. So Mr. KG and Suitland, I think, great question. And I just think what's going to happen at the end is they're going to evaluate these guys. And then once we get past the draft, we're going to see some of these guys leave for other positions. And then you're going to see some other guys come in because they fit the MO of what we're trying to build, because this team is going to have an identity and they're going to stick to the identity. And we're not going to pick Emmanuel Forbes 1 year and pick St. Juice another year. And that doesn't make any sense. We're going to pick like kind parts.
Gotcha.
Thanks for your call.
Not a problem. I'll be calling again.
And don't forget, all shows are live on, I mean, you can get the shows now on the Odyssey app.
So there's no excuse why you're not listening.
You can go back and watch them on YouTube. You don't have to catch us live. Anywhere you can catch a podcast, you can catch us. Hit the like, hit the subscribe button. That way you get an automatic reminder. But even if you need a reminder, we're Tuesday, Thursday. We're like TBS. We start at 7:35. Right after Saved by the Bell. And then on Sundays, we're about 11 o'clock. So got no reason to not catch us.
Right.
And this is an open format. So if you got a thought, throw it in the comments. We read the comments.
Speaking of which.
Oh, this guy.
Many of these WAC fans wanted their pound of flesh and wanted everyone fired from the Snyder-Rivera era. They did. I agree with that 10,000%, because that was like the thing. Oh, we need to clean house. Jason Wright need to go. Everybody from the top down need to go. But you got guys that are actually productive.
But the only reason they're mad about, see, and this is what I keep telling people, is when you have bad management, you get bad results. And I just felt like everybody wanted to dump on Jason Wright for some of the things he did. But you got to remember, Jason Wright came into a situation where he had to try to change the name of a team that he had no connection to. Him and Ron Rivera. Like the lack of having quality people around the situation. You got a resource in the building. This is a situation where Doug Williams comes in handy. I know I've made jokes about Doug being a statue or something that they just bring out because this is their goodwill to the fans. But Doug does more than that. And I'm glad Doc interviewed him. I'm glad he talked to Doc and he said the things he said about the culture in the building and the fact that there was none. But yeah, KG, that's it.
I'm not even gonna give a rebuttal on that because that's gonna take us even longer. So moving on. Steve Wilks fired as defensive coordinator in San Francisco. He was fired on Valentine's Day. And what's crazy is he was hired February 9th, 2023, as their defensive coordinator, coached all this season. And on February 14, 2024, a little over a year later, they fired him. And he's being blamed not by San Francisco, but by a lot of fans for the loss. You know how I feel about Steve Wilks. I feel
So if you don't mind, in this situation, if we were having a coin toss of who goes first and I won the toss because tails never fails, I'm going to defer. So I'm going to defer the conversation started to you, and then I'll piggyback after you because I think my opinion is going to be totally different than yours.
Oh, okay. I got you. My feelings and thoughts on Steve Wilks is one season does not make a defensive coordinator, especially you talking about this season ended in the Super Bowl. Most teams' seasons ended in back in November, December. Your season ended in February. And it wasn't the defense's fault that you didn't win the Super Bowl. If you look at the San Francisco thing, and I'll get to the rest of Steve Wilks in a second, but you look at San Francisco defense, you want to blame somebody, you can't blame Steve Wilks, but I guess everybody wants to jump on X and Instagram. You want to blame Steve Wilks for Warner getting hurt. You want to blame him for San Francisco taking the coin toss in overtime. You want to blame him for San Francisco only putting up two field goals on their last two drives. That's what you want to blame him for, right? You can't blame him for those things. And for him to be fired, I don't like this cloud that seems to – it's a proverbial cloud around Steve Wilks. When he was in Arizona, he had to contend – first season, had to contend with Josh Rosen as his quarterback. And he went 3-13, fired. They brung in Cliff Kingsbury. They got Kyler Murray. They got their franchise quarterback at the time. He goes to Carolina. He winds up taking over for, who was the coach in Carolina? Was it Rule he took over for?
Yeah, Matt Rule. There you go. Keep going.
Over Matt Rule. He went 6-6 with a USFL quarterback. And they did not even offer him the fucking job. This is what I'm talking about. It's like, if something goes wrong, blame Steve Wilks. You wake up in the morning, you go to work, you got a flat tire, blame Steve Wilks. You ran out of gas on the interstate, blame Steve Wilks. That's what it seems like it is. Everything's got to be Steve Wilks' fault. I don't like it. He's too good of a person. He's too good of a coach to be blamed for San Francisco's shortcomings in the Super Bowl this season. For him to lose his job, I think this was shady at best. And I think it was a bullshit-ass move by San Francisco. And I think it was a classless move by San Francisco. Midnight Rider?
I think it was warranted. I think because if we pay attention to what we said on shows coming down the stretch, I try to pencil mark or earmark it from the moment that kind of Chase Young showed up. I don't want to make it seem like it's all about Chase, but right around that time, that defense lost Mufunga, the strong safety, number 26. They lost him. So that's part one of it. Part two is their run defense struggled down the stretch. If you watch the playoff games, they were getting manhandled in the run game. And what I think happened was there was a difference in philosophy between Steve Wilks and Kyle Shanahan, because he doesn't fall off of the Shanahan tree. And maybe now is the time that Shanahan can get one of his guys in the building, someone that's going to run the defense close to what he wants. And I think that's the case for this. It's not a, I don't think it's an indictment personally on Steve Wilks. I think one, the defense did fade. And I think also there was some philosophical differences between the head coach and the D coordinator. And when you have those, guess who wins? The head coach. And it's not a knock. I think Steve Wilks is a hell of a coach. But when this happened, I thought everybody's going to take the easy way out. Some people want to say, oh, it's because of the Super Bowl. And I just didn't believe that. I think that's just us living in the world where, like, the last thing we see sometimes becomes the norm. And that wasn't the norm. Aaron Jones had a field day against them. Like their run defense struggled as a whole. This defense wasn't the same. And yes, he lost Greenlaw in the Super Bowl, and I get all that. But I don't think this came down to – I don't think this was the results of the Super Bowl driven. I think this was driven by personalities, what I want as a coach, and how I believe football, especially defensive football, should be played. But I knew the second this happened, it was going to end up like this.
Yeah. I had to mute myself because I didn't want to interrupt you.
I'm sorry.
I didn't want to interrupt you because, I mean, you gave me the floor to make my point, and I wanted to give you the floor to make your point. I don't agree. I don't. And that's okay. Because
that's why we do this, though.
Right. At times, we are on different sides of the aisle.
Totally. And this is why we don't yell and argue, because I love the fact that we can sit down and have two reasonable thoughts, and you might not agree with my thought, and I don't agree with yours, but it's done, and we understand it, and we'll walk away, and we'll probably, after this show is over, talk for another 20 minutes and try to figure it out.
Hey, here's the thing. No, I'm not even going to say here's the thing. Let me go in depth. Let me ask you a question.
Shoot away.
Steve Wilks was fired in Arizona as a head coach. He was an interim head coach in Carolina, fired. Hold on, let me pull up the rest of his resume, because I don't think he was fired anywhere else. I don't think he was fired. I think he moved on.
So in Arizona, he was fired. He wasn't retained in Carolina. He wasn't fired in Carolina. He just wasn't retained.
Let's go back to the beginning.
Okay.
Let's start NFL. He was with the Bears 2006. In 2008, the Bears announced they had fired Wilks. I'm sorry. He went to San Diego. He was a defensive back coach in 2009. He worked under Ron Rivera, who was the defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
When Rivera became the head coach out with the Panthers, he hired Wilks as a secondary coach. He was promoted to assistant coach. After McDermott left, he became the defensive coordinator. I don't know. It don't say how he left the first stint in Carolina. He went to Arizona, got the head coaching job. Well, that's how he left. He got the head coach job in Arizona. Got fired from that. Went to Cleveland under Freddie Kitchens, and they didn't retain them under Kevin Stefanski. He went back to college. He was a DC under Elijah Drinkwitz. Then he went back to the NFL with Carolina again, of course. He got passed over for the permanent position of head coach in favor of Frank Wright after he went 6-6. Then he goes to San Francisco. He gets fired in San Francisco. It seems like Steve Wilks, Anthony Lynn, quite a few other assistants seem to get a lot of short end of the stick.
I'm going to tell you like this for a fact. Anthony Lynn, if Anthony Lynn had a kicker at any point in his tenure in San Diego, he'd still be coaching San Diego. San Diego wouldn't have Josh Herbert. I mean, Herbert, Justin Herbert, whatever it is.
Yeah, Justin Herbert.
They wouldn't have him because they'd have been a perennial playoff team the whole time if they only had a kicker. They set a record for like games, 1 point lost games or something during his tenure. That was their problem. Their problem was special teams. And that's what got him out of that situation. And then you got to remember, you know, these owners get tight. So all of a sudden the young, brash coordinator is the guy that they want. Like, I think that's why I'm confident that Anthony Lynn's probably going to be here for a while. Because I don't know if he gets another job. So hopefully for the next 10 years while he's grooming Jaden Daniels or Drake May, we're good.
Or Sam Howell.
Jaden Daniels, Drake May. The only way he's grooming Sam Howell is if one of those guys get hurt. And Sam Howell.
Or Justin Fields.
So it's Drake May.
Or Brett Rippin.
Drake May or Jaden Daniels. Like, I don't know if I'm speaking a different language or something. The only other guy I would accept as this quarterback of this team would be Bo Nix, but that's because they saw something. Maybe they moved back, took advantage of maybe the Chargers wanting to get Harrison Jr. on their team, and they move back to 9 or something like that. But there's going to be a run on quarterbacks early. I can see 4 going. I don't understand the J.J. McCarthy love, but when you start hearing this talk, and they talk like this, there's a very strong possibility, especially if the kid tests well, that he's going to be in the mix.
And when you say test well, I guess you mean Wonderlic.
I think it's going to be a cacophony of things. I think it's going to be his Wonderlic. I think it's going to be his throwing at the combine, because he's going to be somebody that has to throw. It's going to be a mix of his 40 time. It's going to be a little bit in his interviews. Like, when he gets on the whiteboard and he got to draw up a play, you know what I'm saying? That's the one show I missed, is the old Coach's Corner with John Gruden.
Mm-hmm.
The FCU or the FFCU. I used to love that show. That's why I fell in love with Patrick Mahomes. And the infamous throw where he's rolling left, he turns his upper body, flicks it sideways, and throws it 65 yards. When I saw that, I was like, yeah, that's my quarterback. That's my quarterback.
Let me say this real quick. You brought up the Wonderlic. Don't take Wonderlic tests as gospel. Because it's a lot of players that scored low on a Wonderlic and they became Hall of Famers. A lot of players that scored high and they became busts.
But the framework of what I'm talking about is, see, he becomes one of those guys where he's a coach's player. Like, your QB coach comes in the room and stands on the table like, I can get every ounce of that we need out of this kid. I can make this kid, because he played at Michigan. So Michigan didn't show off his passing talents. I see this guy as a quarterback, our quarterback of the future. We trade back into the first round, the low 20s. That's where I see McCarthy going, from 20 to 25, 20 to 28. So that way that team, I call it either the dirt car / Lamar Jackson. Where you go into the round, get the guy in the first round, so you have 5 years of using that player.
All right, and speaking of Wonderlic, I'm going to find the test. I want everybody to take the test. I'm going to post it in the group. Everybody take the Wonderlic. Let's see where we score at. I scored a 50 on it once, and I'm dumb as a box of rocks. So hold that where you want it. Last but not least, now this is encompassing all four majors. Well, not four major sports. Let's encompass college basketball, high school basketball, the NFL. College football refs weren't too bad this year, but are the refs on a power trip? Was it last night or night before last? 6 minutes into the Suns game, Devin Booker gets ejected from the game.
Well, I mean, the NBA.
Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say in the NBA, it's always been the Joey Crawfords, the Steve Javies of the world that, you know, you do the wrong thing, they feel like you showed them up. You're not Michael Jordan. They're going to start throwing text your way if you say the wrong thing to them, when you look at them wrong. Like the infamous Rasheed Wallace staring at a guy and he throws, calls the tech, and he's like, I'm not going to let him do that to me. And he's like, he didn't say anything. I'm not going to let him try to intimidate me. Like, no. I mean, I think we have two problems with refs. I think one of the problems is that we are so overreactive to every play call that the refs never get a fair shot at being right. And I think the second part of it is that because of the abuse these guys take at the lower levels, I think the quality you're going to have at the higher levels is going to struggle. You're not developing quality referees because now these referees get yelled at. You got referees getting jumped, getting punched. And did that happen before? Probably so. But now we live in an era where we can see it. Like, is that $20 for that hour or that $25 an hour worth somebody throwing a punch at you? You know what I'm saying? The Tlaib situation where the coach got shot at or the referee got shot at, one of those situations. Like we have to be careful that we're creating these situations for these youngsters to where normally they would thrive as a referee, as a young ref, and they'd learn the ropes and get responsibility and then learn some things about having a job where they don't get that opportunity now because we're so, like, the game's got to be refereed so perfectly that you don't allow this guy to make a mistake. Like you're asking these parents are so into, my son's going to get a scholarship. Man, your son can't go left. Man, your son doesn't even know. We run two plays. Guess how many plays your son knows? Zero. What are we doing here? Like, we can't, there's this, there's this thing.
And for those who don't know, that right there was drop a quarter in the bucket. When he says the phrase, drop a quarter in the bucket. So we up to 75 cents this week.
So when you say, when we talk about this, it's like the parents have pushed some of these things, these agendas too far. And actually, that's another person I want to get. So if you know anybody that's got a kid that's trending towards college, maybe has some D1 offers, drop the name, get us in contact with them, because I want to do a show with the parent first, the first half of the show, and then I would love to do the second half of the show with the player. And we got some other things in line, too. Because I'm trying to get a hold of my buddy DK and try to get his son, Cohen King, and I probably said this on Tuesday, who's going through the draft process, hopefully,
right,
the UVA. So
let me say this, and, you know, then we can jump off of it. One of the most oddest referee texts that I've ever seen was a text that Allen Iverson got. Yeah, he asked the ref, he said, what did I do? He said, you brought the crowd down. He said, what? You brought the crowd down. He said, what do you mean? You brought the crowd down. We talking something that happened about 20 years ago. I still don't know what the fuck that means. What do you mean you brought the crowd down?
So this ironically, that's during the infamous Tim Donaghy was the only one era. Just to say that.
I'll say this. The last few months. I said something. Me and Ross talked about this, matter of fact, because we were supposed to talk about this week before. What was that? Was that last Thursday or Thursday before last? We were supposed to talk about this when I was talking with Ross and Duval Paul. We were going to talk about the rest. that me and Ross had a conversation. We were just talking about, like, why are y'all so nitpicky? You know, it was a cat. Was it college or was it NBA? He came through the lane, got a nice two-hand put back. He swung forward, swung back, and he couldn't get down. So he kind of waited for everybody to move and got down. Tech. It's not a tech if I can't come down. If I can't come down safely, even the announcer's like, he couldn't come down safely. How do you give him a tech for that? Then you bring it back to the NBA. I can't remember who the player was. I've been watching, like, as they come, I've been watching them. He spun the ball to the ref, but when he spun it to her, you know, if you've ever played street ball, you know, like when you check the ball, you spin the ball and you bounce it, but you bounce to the right and it comes back to whoever you're trying to get it to. It's just a little spin pass. He did that to her. She gave him a text, said, "You didn't hand me the ball." So the next time down, he handed her the ball. "Oh, you handed me the ball. Tech, you're out of here." What do you want?
Mm-hmm.
We already have to deal with quote-unquote load management in the NBA. We already have to deal with that, natural injuries. But now you're having players, high-profile players, get ejected from games and getting technical fouls over the smallest thing. It's a TikTok. It says the top 10 most egregious technical fouls. One of them was Jason Tatum, because he got called for a foul. He was like, "Man," and he clapped his hands. "Oh, you clapped too loud. Technical." What? We are in an arena with 60 some thousand people and you telling me I clapped too loud?
Well, the most infamous one got to be the one where Tim Duncan's on the bench laughing and he gets thrown out. That's got to be number one.
Yeah. Because but they were on the bench having fun, not even paying attention to the game. They were doing their own thing. What were they doing that was so bad?
But that was Crawford, I think.
I think it was Joey Crawford. But I digress. Can we agree that whether they're going above and beyond to be on a power trip, but the referees are on a power trip these last few months? Can we agree with that?
I'm a ref's kid, so that's a tough, putting me in a tough situation, man. I will say that there are some referees and some umpires that believe the game is about them. You know, you get your Angel Hernandez, your Joe West, your Crawford brothers, Joey and Jerry. I think the other one's named Jerry, the one that does baseball. You have all these people that, yeah. So it's an interesting mix, man. But I think the other part of it is we gotta get the quality back up, because we gotta stop hindering young people from trying to be referees that can actually be good at it.
Yep.
Because of us being poor sport in the stands.
We also have to stop thinking because your child plays a sport that they're the greatest thing since the egg white omelet. Granted, I know you don't want to see your child get held and fouled and stuff like that, but don't think because your kid went to the hole and tried to go in there amongst the trees and they 5'2" and they going in against a 6'8" behemoth and they getting their shot swatted, that it's a foul. Come on now, let them play. But to a certain extent.
Do I want General Souls, or do I want a wing? Do I want wings?
You getting wings and fries?
Of course.
Okay, well, you get General Souls, or you get fried rice or white rice?
I'm a white rice guy.
You're a Philistine.
in the words of my man, Sean Summers from It's Unethical. Go ahead. So I could do a whole segment on being official for 20 years now. Yeah. That's why I always mess with Maddie. I was always like, "Yo, what's the ejection count?" Because I've been in the arena. You know what I'm saying? I'd never forget. And this is my last story, and I'm going to get out off of this. Eric. Speaking of Eric, I offered him a spot on the show. He was like, "Oh, yeah, I'm going to listen." I was like, "Nah, just come on and jump in with us." He just laughed at me and hangs up. I was like, all right. I don't know why you want to do a podcast with me. I don't know, man. But that's neither here nor there. But yeah, I always ask Matt about a counter because I've seen it being a coach. You know, I never forget I was assistant coach at Ireton JV Girls. We had their best record midway through the season that they ever had. And I never forget, we go to Seton, beat Seton, and one of the girls probably played like 3 or 4 minutes. She didn't get a long run. But she couldn't because Seton's very athletic and she's a plotter. She's slow. So I never forget at the end of the game, I'm walking out. I don't pay attention at the end of the game. I'm just trying to get to the thing. But like one of the parents tried to stop me and ask me why his daughter didn't play for so much time. I was like, huh? And I just kept going. So I ignored him. But yeah, we had a meeting like that next day or 2 days later with the parents. And I'm just like, damn it. I'm not going to say it.
Nope, you already did it. Too late. That's 50 cents.
What are we doing here?
We up to $1, baby.
We're winning ball games, and you're mad at how we're winning ball games. Meanwhile, you're in the third place in the WCAC. I don't know if you seen what we got here. Shout out to my man Mark Wilson, but I don't know if you know what we got here. You know what I'm saying?
Whew. Well, let me throw a quick story, and then we'll wrap it up. We'll wrap it up. Dario was playing football for the 210 Vikings, and Dario was a Mr. Everything. He ran back kicks. He ran defensive line, offensive line. He did everything, and he was a He was a tough runner. I never got on his coach about why are you running my son like that? Why is he doing this? You know, all that stuff. No, none of that. No. I used to go to the coach after the game. Hey, coach. Coach Paul was his name. And a lot of the parents didn't like him because, you know, they didn't win a lot of games. But Coach Paul had to play with like 17 kids. And, you know, he got to work these kids out. I said, Coach Paul, what can he do? What can Dario do better? He say, well, I want him to be able to do this. You think you can work with him? Yes, sir. He come back the next practice. He showing him what he learned. It was another coach who was the offensive coordinator. And I was standing beside him. Dario had one of his best runs. Little Earl Campbell, I had shown him some Earl Campbell highlights. So he dipped his head and ran over a big kid and almost outran him. And I said, see, that's them Earl Campbell highlights. He turned to me and said, man, Dario don't weigh nothing but a buck 05. He said, man, I need him to run around people. Don't run through nobody. But it was never a thing where I was like, man, y'all not using my kid right. I'm taking him elsewhere. Nah, I was like, we're dedicated to this because I love this coaching staff because they're actually trying to teach these kids. But parents, oh, well, my son's this and my son's that. And then, you know, I got into it with a ref one time because he wouldn't call holding. Like this kid had Dario up around the neck and grabbed him by the face mask and everything. No call. I was like, Slim, if you call hold the next play, when it happened, or you got to see me outside. Because I was on a chain gang. He's like, you can put the chains down. I said, if I put the chains down, I'm going to beat your motherfucking ass. So don't offer me up.
The sideline junkies. We do not promote violence. No, we do not promote beating up the referee.
No. See,
I'm messing with you. I'm messing with you.
It was because he offered me up. If he wouldn't have offered me up, I wouldn't have said that. Now, see, I know Matty Ice ain't offering nobody up. Right. Yeah, Matty Ice don't play that out of here. But Matty Ice is going to put you out of the game because you deserve to be thrown out.
Right.
He's not going to do it because you're bringing the crowd down. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Well, Eric Willis said he's not prepared.
Okay. So. Yeah. Yeah. I believe that, just like I believe the earth is flat. I got you, E.
So we come to that point in time, baby. Time to wrap that shit up, B. Last thoughts before we get up out of here.
Pitchers and catchers reported for baseball spring training. The regular players come in about a week or two. Masson and Comcast. Masson's deal with Comcast expired today. So unless they renegotiate something or get something else on the table, you may not be able to watch the Nationals on Masson at this point. So I don't know what's going on. I'm so ready for the Orioles to be sold and like something happens where we can get baseball on regular channels and with some decent quality production. But that's A. And I think my B is, I'll just end it on that because I've talked too much there.
I thought the Oreo thing was already done.
Nah, the sale still has to be approved. Oh,
okay.
I'm sorry, I forgot. Because the reason I was singing, what's the movie with Whoopi Goldberg, Sister Act 2.
Mm-hmm.
And when the dude hit the high note, what's that song? You know that song?
Oh, Happy Day, Edwin Hawkins.
Yeah, so I started singing that today. I even hit the high note, even though I didn't hit it well. It was bad. It was a really bad high note. But Rob Manfred is not going to be commissioner beyond the end of his contract. So in 2029, we're going to all be free of Rob Manfred as the commissioner of baseball.
I will be free. Free someday.
I had other songs in mind. And I also had World Be Free in my mind too. So,
all right. Eric Wheeler says, then I can start rooting for the Orioles again. Hashtag Frick Pete Angelo.
You know what we can do, E? We can do an Orioles podcast. Me and you.
Oh my God. Well, my final thoughts for the night. I hope everybody enjoyed this show because I damn sure enjoyed it. This is beautiful. And Eric Willis says LMAO. For those that are uninitiated, you know what that means. Thank you, V. Williams. Good job. I appreciate it. We appreciate it. I can't speak and not say we don't appreciate it because we do. Next up, Saturday, the WrestleManiacs. We got a lot to cover on the WrestleManiacs. I think the return of That's Just Nubian, as well as some pre-WrestleMania talk. We got to talk about what happened around the world of wrestling this week. But until then, that's the Midnight Rider. I'm the big guy, KG, the boss. BJ's on assignment tonight. Don't forget, click like, subscribe, hit that bell on every platform you can so you don't miss a show. And buy some Fort Mose so you can have something to sip while you, because Saturday night, you got to have your cup. If you don't have your cup with the Nubian Sumo, you're going to be left out, baby. So until then,
shout out.
We don't do no overtime, y'all. We don't. We don't do no overtime.
120, baby.